Eric Johnson, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Travis. Great to be here.
I've read that Louisiana is sort of a hotspot for birds, that right now there are all these birds that are migrating from across the world and they're passing through here. Can you tell us just really briefly about the journey that those birds make?
Yeah. So birds right now are coming back from Central and South America. They're flying up through the Yucatan Peninsula, and then many of them actually cross the Gulf of Mexico in a single flight. So it's a 600-mile flight, nonstop. It can take them anywhere from 15 to 25 hours to make that journey, depending on the headwinds. And so when they get here, they're exhausted, right? And so they land, wherever they can find shelter and food, and will try to refuel and drink water so that they can continue the journey northward.
I'm wondering if you can name maybe two birds that people can expect to hear this time of year. And I'm going to pull up some audio so we can hear what it sounds like. And maybe if you could start with a bird that lives in Louisiana year-round.
Sure, yeah. So a bird that lives in Louisiana year-round that people are likely hearing right now are their Carolina wrens. They're little brown birds that often hang around our homes. They'll nest in our planters, in our gardens, in our trees, in our shrubs. And they sing really, really loud. So they're one of the first birds that sing every morning. And they're just a pleasant awakening to the day.
And what about a bird that might just be passing through, migrating through Louisiana?
Yeah, one of my favorites is the Prothonotary warbler. It's a bird that we've done work on at Audubon Louisiana, tracking them all the way to Columbia, where they spend the winter. And they're coming back right now and filling up our bottomland hardwood forests and swamps with their songs. And they make this loud, sweet, 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 sweet sort of call. So if you go out into the woods, particularly wet forests, you'll probably hear that this time of year.
All right, I kind of want to talk about tips and tricks for getting started. If you're just a beginner or you've never birded before, when I go outside, should I be using my ears first or my eyes first? What do I do?
Yeah, use all your senses, obviously, especially your ears and your eyes. If you have binoculars, that's obviously really helpful. I find that it's really helpful to bring a notepad and a piece of paper and a pencil. And that way you can kind of write down what you're hearing and what you're seeing and try to describe in your own words what you're seeing and hearing so you can look it up later. Having a field guide can be very helpful. You can purchase those, you know, as a book or as a smartphone app. And there's several apps that are free. So the Audubon app is free, and Cornell has an app called Merlin. So if you're taking pictures of birds, you can actually submit those pictures to the Merlin app, and it has software that'll provide suggestions on what kind of bird that you've taken a picture of.
So you've mentioned some tools, you've talked about some guides and tips for resources. What about like feeding them? Is that cheating? Can I feed birds? And if so, what do I feed them? Like, what's cool and what's not cool?
It is definitely not cheating. And the good thing is birds aren't actually really dependent on the food that we put out for them, but it gives us an opportunity to get better looks at the birds that are in our communities. So two of my starting bird, my favorite bird foods to put out would be the white millet and black oil sunflower. Those will attract a real nice variety of birds. They're easy to maintain. They're not super expensive. And so, you know, those will draw in birds like your cardinals, chipping sparrows in the winter, goldfinches in the winter. At this time of year, you might see indigo buntings or rose-breasted grosbeaks, two beautiful migratory birds that are passing through that will visit your feeders. So that's a good place to get started. You can put out suet that'll attract woodpeckers and chickadees. You can build from there. And it's definitely an enjoyable way to, you know, to get to know the birds that are in your area.
What about kitchen scraps? If I finish making some food and I've got some leftover kitchen scraps, can I throw that outside for birds?
Probably not. You're more likely to attract undesirables like rodents and raccoons and those kinds of things. So definitely stick to the bird foods, the bird seeds.
So you're saying we can do some pretty good birding in the cities if we live in a city?
it depends on what you're interested in, but you can really go birding anywhere. There are parks, you know, whether you live in New Orleans or Baton Rouge or Lafayette, or Lake Charles, you know, you live in an apartment, you can find a little patch of habitat in your neighborhood. You know, I lived in a yard that was a quarter of an acre and attracted 174 species of birds to that yard over several years. So it's a really accessible pastime, and it doesn't have to be something super intense. Just a way to kind of reset, get out, enjoy nature.
So what can people do at home to help make their homes and their yards better environments for birds?
Yeah, so one of the challenges that migratory birds face is window collisions. And I'm sure many people have experienced a bird crashing into their window before, and particularly migratory birds, because they don't know the area. They're especially vulnerable to that. And windows can appear transparent to a bird, or the reflection can appear like habitat. So they don't know that the window is a solid barrier. So one way you can address that is by breaking up the reflection or the transparency using these specialized bird tapes. And if you were to Google bird tape window collisions, you will find lots of examples that you can purchase over the internet. And they're relatively inexpensive. And the idea is to break up your window into 4-inch by 4-inch squares, and that'll minimize the impact. You can also hang string in front of your windows. Even simply just putting a screen on a window that doesn't have a screen can make a big difference. So that's a big challenge for birds, our windows. And right now we're kind of getting into peak window strike season, unfortunately. So, you know, everybody who has a home, and now that we're all kind of stuck at home right now, this is a good time to kind of assess your windows and see if you can do things to minimize the impact of birds.
Well, Eric Johnson, thanks so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, and be safe, everyone.